Bilbo had escaped the goblins, but he did not know where he was. He wandered on and on till the sun began to sink westwards and the mountain shadows fell across his path. "Good heavens, I seem to have got right to the other side of the Misty Mountains, right to the edge of the land beyond. Where and oh, where can Gandalf and the dwarfs have got to?" He had just made up his mind that he must turn back when he heard voices, and suddenly he saw, peering between two big boulders, a head with a red hood. It was Balin, keeping lookout. He could have jumped for joy, but he didn't. He had still got the ring on, and he saw that Balin was looking straight through him. Gandalf was arguing with the dwarves, saying that they could not possibly go on their journey, leaving Mr. Baggins in the hand of the goblins, without trying to rescue him. "Either you help me look for him, or I go and leave you here to get out of this mess as best you can yourselves. Whatever did you want to go and drop him for, Dory?"
"You would have dropped him if a goblin had suddenly grabbed you from behind in the dark."
"Then why didn't you pick him up again?"
"What? With goblins fighting and biting in the dark? You nearly chopped off my head with Glamdring. Then all of a sudden you gave one of your blinding flashes and shouted, 'Follow me, everybody.' We thought everybody had. And here we are, without the burglar. Confusticate him."
"And here's the burglar," said Bilbo, slipping off the ring. Bless me, how they jumped and shouted with surprise and delight.
"What did I tell you?" said Gandalf, laughing. "Mr. Baggins has more about him than you guess."
Nevertheless, he gave Bilbo a queer look from under his bushy eyebrows, and the hobbit wondered if he guessed at the part of his tale that he had left out. The wizard called them to their senses.
"They will be out after us in hundreds when night comes, and already shadows are lengthening. They can smell our footsteps for hours. We are too far to the north, and we are still pretty high up. Let's get on."
All of a sudden, they heard a long, shuddering howl. It was wolves gathering together. "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Bilbo cried. "Escaping goblins to be caught by wolves."
"Up the trees, quick!" cried Gandalf.
Bilbo could not get into any tree and was scuttling about from trunk to trunk like a frightened rabbit.
"You've left the burglar behind again," said Nori to Dori, looking down. "I can't always be carrying burglars on my back. What do you think I am, a porter?"
The howls came closer.
"He'll be eaten if we don't do something," said Thorin. "Dori, be quick and give Mr. Baggins a hand up."
Dori climbed out of the tree and let Bilbo scramble up and stand on his back.
Just at that moment, the wolves howled into the clearing. All of a sudden, there were hundreds of yellow eyes. Still, Dori did not let Bilbo down. He waited till he had clambered off his shoulders into the branches, and then he jumped for his life. Only just in time. A wolf snapped at his cloak as he swung up and nearly got him. Then there were all around eyes blazing through the dark. But even the wild wargs, for so the evil wolves were named, cannot climb trees. For a time, Bilbo and his friends were safe. The glade in the ring of trees was a wolf meeting place. More and more kept coming in, forming a great circle. And in the middle of the circle sat a great grey wolf. He spoke to them in the dreadful language of the wargs. Gandalf understood it. Bilbo did not, but it sounded terrible. What Gandalf heard was that a great goblin raid had been planned for that same night. The wargs had come to meet the goblins, and the goblins were late. The reason, no doubt, was the death of the great goblin, and all the excitement caused by the dwarves and Bilbo and the wizard, for whom they were probably still hunting. The wargs were angry and puzzled at finding the dwarves here in their own meeting place. They had no intention of letting them escape. And long before morning, goblin soldiers would be coming down from the mountains. And goblins can climb trees. Gandalf began to be dreadfully afraid, wizard though he was. He gathered some huge pine cones from the branches of his tree, set one alight with bright blue fire, and threw it whizzing down among the circle of the wolves. It struck one on the back, and immediately his shaggy coat caught fire, and he was yelping horribly. Then another came, and another, one in blue flames, another in green. Soon all about the glade, wolves were rolling over and over to put out the sparks on their backs, while those that were burning set others alight, till their own friends chased them away, and they fled. The dwarves and Bilbo cheered.
"What is all this uproar in the forest tonight?"
said the Lord of the Eagles. He was sitting, black in the moonlight, on a lonely pinnacle of rock at the eastern edge of the mountains.
"I hear wolves' voices."
He summoned many other eagles to him, and they flew from the mountains, and slowly circling, they came down, down, down towards the ring of the wolves and the meeting place of the goblins. Dreadful things had been going on. The wolves that had caught fire and fled into the forest had set it alight in several places. All round the clearing of the wargs, fire was leaping. But the wolf guards did not leave the trees. Goblins had arrived, and goblins are not afraid of fire. They soon had a plan which seemed to them most amusing. Stacking fern and brushwood round the tree trunks, soon they had a ring of smoke and flame all around the dwarves. Smoke was in Bilbo's eyes. He could feel the heat of the flames, and through the reek he could see the goblins dancing round and round in a circle like people round a midsummer bonfire. Outside the ring of dancing goblin warriors stood the wolves, watching and waiting. He could hear the goblins beginning a horrible song. 15 birds in 5 fir trees, their feathers were fanned in a fiery breeze. But funny little birds, they had no wings. Oh, what shall we do with the funny little things? Roast 'em alive, or stew 'em in a pot. Fry them, boil them, and eat them hot. Yah-hey, yah-hurry-hey, yah-hoy! And with that, yah-hoy! The flames were under Gandalf's tree. In a moment it spread to the others. The bark caught fire. The lower branches cracked. Just at that moment, the Lord of the Eagles swept down from above, seized Gandalf in his talons, and was gone. There was a howl of rage and surprise from the goblins. Loud cried the Lord of the Eagles. Back swept the great birds, and down they came like huge black shadows, their talons tearing at goblin faces. Other birds flew to the treetops and seized the dwarves, who were scrambling high as they ever dared go. Poor little Bilbo was very nearly left behind again. He just managed to catch hold of Dory's legs as Dory was borne off last of all, and up they went, swinging in the air. The flight ended only just in time for him before his arms gave way and he fell with a gasp onto the rough platform of an eagle's eyrie. He lay trembling with fear on a wide shelf of rock on the mountainside. There was no path down onto it save by flying. The Lord of the Eagles was speaking to Gandalf. Bilbo listened to the talk and realized that at last they were going to escape from the dreadful mountains. Gandalf was discussing plans with the great eagle for carrying them far away and setting them all down well on their journey across the plains below.